Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The election in 2024. What if? Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, he writes political economics. He's based in London. So he's looking at this what if from the distance of the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. And, Joe, a very good evening to you. You asked a disturbing question. What if there is a financial crisis somewhat on the scale of 2008, which I recall came in very quietly in August with rates spiking and then the catastrophe of Lehman's? What if? And you base that what if on the two leading candidates for the election in 24, the re-election of Joseph Biden or the re-election of Donald Trump, to choose between them. Let's review what happened the first time. It was Barack Obama, senator, a first-term senator from Illinois, versus John McCain, ex-Times senator from Arizona, senior senator. The economy was the issue in our minds. How did it turn out in 2008? Who won that contest, Joe? I don't mean in terms of the vote. I mean in terms of the economy. Good evening to you.
Hey, John. Well, I mean, it is kind of an important question to ask that because, you know, I was sitting here. I had the idea for the column just by looking at the calendar. I mean, people tend to forget that the crisis that culminated in September of 2008, just a couple months before that presidential election, had really started 15 months earlier. And there had been long periods when it had looked like everything was fixed and the problem was over. And then, you know, something new would break in the financial system or the broader economy that ended up meaning that the October surprise that year was a financial crisis that had its origins really a year and a half earlier. And so I think if you just look at where we are in the calendar right now, I do think that you know, both the candidates and primary voters need to be alert to the fact that this is kind of one of those risks out there. It is a known unknown, exactly what kind of condition the economy will be in the immediate you know, run-up to next year's election. And I think that voters in both parties need to be cognizant of you know, what that means for the candidates that they might be choosing during the primaries. Because we discovered back in 2008 that I think both parties had ended up nominating candidates who were not really well equipped to explain to voters what the candidate thought was going on in the crisis or what should be done about it. But a pressing issue for Republicans is that the Democrats and the left ended up having a natural advantage in that kind of situation because they can always fall back on just blaming corporate greed or greedy bankers and arguing in favor of more regulation. I think that the Republicans would have to be ready to have a candidate who could be more nuanced and convincing than that.
And therefore, Barack Obama won not only the electoral vote and the popular vote, he also won the answer for the crisis vote, which was more regulation. Immediately, they went to emergency legislation, supporting banks in all directions. And my memory is that we then entered into a period of very, very poor performance of the economy over several years. Is that a direct result of the regulation, Joe? Do we know that now?
I think that there's a good argument that the whole regulatory framework and a lot of the other policy responses to the financial panic in the fall of 2008 did set back the economy because you had big expansions in transfer payments like food stamps and other programs of that sort that gummed up the labor market, made it difficult to recover from that. And so I think that there was definitely a cost to the economy and to households from that election result. But again, I think that especially for the Republican side of this debate, the key point is that it isn't enough to blame the other guy for getting it wrong. You have an obligation to the voters to make your own case in a way that will persuade people. And I think that one problem, one reason that Republicans set themselves up for failure in 2008 is that without realizing what they were doing, they had nominated John McCain, who was a candidate who was not well equipped to communicate with the public or to have a firm grasp of what was going on when there was a major event in the economy. And so I think that people do need to learn from that experience. And, you know, this is not the only issue that primary voters need to be thinking about in both parties. But I think that it is an issue that they need to be thinking more about.
I don't recall it being much talked about in the first Republican debate. There's another one coming up next week. Perhaps the candidates or the nomination will address that. Nor do I recall Donald Trump recently, who did not participate in the debate, speaking to pocketbook issues, so-called Bidenomics. So let's bring it up to date, Joe. Barack Obama won all those points, and many years have passed. What has been learned? What does a disaster look like? You mentioned a variety of choices. I'm going to choose all my chips on the commercial real estate market. How does that work, Joe?
Well, I think that that is the next thing that people are worried about, because that is a huge segment of the economy that is very, very exposed to rising interest rates, because you have huge amounts of leverage. You have rents declining because of return to work issues and companies not using office space in the same way since the pandemic. You have the interest rates rising. You have a big exposure to the banks who have extended a lot of credit to commercial real estate. So I think that we do need to be cognizant of the fact that there could be an event of some sort in the banks or the financial system related to commercial real estate within the next year. And candidates will have to have something to say about that. I mean, there was some discussion of the economy in the last Republican debate, and there might be some discussion in the next debate. And that has very helpfully focused on this issue that a lot of the spending that the government has done, especially since the pandemic and during the Biden administration, has been very bad for the economy in a lot of ways. It has stoked the inflation. It's distorting a lot of investment decisions. We have a nonsensical energy policy right now, which is making it difficult for businesses and households to access affordable energy, to run your factory or keep the lights on in your office or put gas in the tank of your car. So I think that there's Republicans have figured out that they can talk about that issue. But they also should be prepared to talk a little bit more about the economy more deeply also a bit more broadly in order to reassure voters that they would be, that a candidate would be able to understand what is happening if there is a crisis.
Joe Biden's reelection promises stronger and more regulation. We see that. That's the textbook call for the Democrats. And the Republicans are to be determined. So in the event that there is a way to avoid crisis, we'll turn to something that is right now on the minds of everyone, not the 24 vote, but the meeting of the Federal Reserve Board within these hours, with an announcement by Chairman Powell 24 hours or so from now, about the decision of inflation. And the buzz on Wall Street, Joe, the smart money, says pause in September. And yet, inflation is not tamed. We're a long way from the target of 2%. Worldwide, there's inflation, so we're not getting any boost from overseas. Our economy, despite the 11 rate hikes, continues to grow in some fashion, certainly not a downturn. We've got a UAW strike that may turn much larger in these next days, asking for higher wages, more benefits, and some assurance that the green technology is not going to displace the workers, the workforce. And then we have the Federal Reserve to make a decision. The question is, what is the window for the Federal Reserve to battle inflation with another rate hike? I know we don't do predictions here, Joe, so I'll ask this question. Is Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, strong enough to raise rates in an election year if he has to?
We don't know yet, and we won't know unless or until that actually happens. Certainly what's happening right now is that people seem to be expecting that they're going to hold pat at this meeting and then perhaps do a small quarter point rate increase sometime between this meeting and the end of the year. I think they have a couple more meetings left in 2023. And now the speculation is over whether they might actually be in a position to cut rates next year. But I think that the key dilemma that they have right now is that they very clearly do not understand what's going on in the economy. Inflation and economic growth and employment are not responding to each other or to the Fed's policy moves in the way that the Fed's models would have predicted. And so that's creating a real dilemma, and I think it's a big part of the argument for them pausing right now, because they don't know if their policies actually are working, but just with a lag, so that we would start to see some more of the benefit in terms of the inflation rate declining in the future, even if they hold pat for now. I think that's really the tenor of the debate. Remember that all of this is now premised on the fact that they don't have a clear understanding of what's happening, rather than on the old idea that they do know what's happening and can manipulate the economy very precisely.
And the question of a cut is indefinite in the future, but there's buzz on that as well. The final hike, does that mean the cut is imminent, or does that mean they delay for a year? One version I read in the financial press is filled with speculation, is that the Fed has the power to do nothing for a year or so. Is that credible, Joe? Just have meeting after meeting and we will not change anything?
Well, I mean, I think Wall Street would desperately love a rate cut sooner rather than later, partly because I think that low interest rates are more fun,
right?
For Wall Street in a lot of ways. But I think that there's a good argument that if the economy is growing healthily as it has been, and you are starting to get inflation under control, that isn't necessarily an argument for cutting rates. That might actually mean that your rate is at the appropriate level over the medium term.
Joseph Sternberg is a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, writing about what if. Everybody needs to think about that. What if there's a financial crisis somewhat like 2008 or worse than 2008? Who is your candidate? We're going to turn to news from the United Kingdom, life in London next, electric vehicles, and a prediction that is gloomy for the UK. I'm John Bachelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Bachelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
L-E-D-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. plus our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.